Last June marked a much-anticipated achievement for the U.S. Congress, the passing of the Immigration Reform Bill.
The yeas on this bill are 68, the nays are 32. The bill, as amended, is passed.
What that meant was many things: a new path to citizenship for undocumented immigrants, mainly Latinos, the abolition of the diversity lottery visa that brought in thousands of African immigrants, and an increase of H-1B visas given to highly talented workers sponsored by companies here in the U.S., primarily tech workers from East and South Asia. Silicon Valley tech giants like Yahoo, Facebook, and Google lobbied Congress and even wrote to the president to increase the number of these visas in the new immigration bill. So what does that mean for Silicon Valley besides more tech workers? What social effects have high-skilled immigrant Asian families had on traditionally white South Bay cities and the people who've lived in them for generations? Stanford sociology professor Tomas Jimenez asked himself those questions and studied the city of Cupertino as an example. His latest study is called When White is Just All Right: How Immigrants Redefine Achievement and Reconfigure the Ethno-Racial Hierarchy. What he found, he says, was totally unexpected, as he told me when I sat down with him in his Stanford office.
Cupertino is a place that was, in 1980, about 90% white. And now it's 29% white. Most people know it because it's the headquarters of Apple Computer, right? It's the default setting on their iPhone when they first get it. But it's also a very significant area of high-skilled immigrant settlement. Most of the immigrants there come from India or China. And the immigrants tend to be very highly educated. It's a very expensive place to live. It's very upper middle class, even by Silicon Valley standards. And the white population that lives there is also very solidly upper middle class. So they have very kind of equal class standing. And like a lot of places, there's a strong stereotype that has developed about Asian youth being very high achieving, being very hardworking, being smart. It's actually not a surprise. A lot of people would call this the kind of model minority stereotype. What's different about Cupertino than that kind of model minority stereotype is that the stereotypes about Asians have significant implications for how whites get stereotyped there. Typically, in a mixed setting, whiteness, the idea of being white, stands for high achievement, right? And so, you know, there's some research, and this is somewhat controversial research, that has found that minority kids accuse each other of acting white. And part of that includes some kind of achievement component. A lot of that has been debunked, but it's out there, and so I'll mention it. There's a notion that the white kids are the smart ones, the white kids are the high-achieving ones, they're the kind of standard, the norm to which we compare everyone to figure out how they're doing. But the white kids in Cupertino are not the norm, they're not the standard. The standard and the norm for high achievement is set by the Asian origin population, and particularly the Asian immigrant origin population. And their stereotyping as the smart, high-achieving, high-flying kids necessarily entails, in this place where everyone is either white or Asian, I should say East or South Asian and white, entails whites being stereotyped as, for lack of a better term, the kind of laggards, the low achievers. And so teachers will tell us that that they often expect less of their white students. Students themselves say that they feel like there are stereotypes that other students have of them, these are white students, that peg them as less smart, as less able, as less capable. And so if you look at a lot of the studies that have been done on poor African Americans, poor Latinos, and their approach to achievement, you can just kind of, and the way that those categories get stereotyped as low achieving, you can just substitute white in there and you essentially have the situation in Cupertino.
So what are white families talking about then in this regard?
One response is that parents decide that they're going to pull their kids out of the schools and put them in less competitive schools, which are often private schools, or seek an interdistrict transfer. I would say that's more of the exception than the rule, but it is an available response to parents.
Because of the pressure their children feel at school?
Because of the pressure, and often because they don't want their kids to be a minority. And so this is very ironic, because white flight usually happens when When a minority population moves in, people get afraid that the property values are going down. They get afraid the school quality is going to degrade, and so they pull their kids out. But here, you have a minority population that's moved in. The property values have skyrocketed, and the quality of the schools, at least if you judge by test scores, which is how most people evaluate the quality, have gone through the roof.
The new immigration bill includes a big push by tech companies to increase the number of H-1B visas. So I'm wondering how you see, you know, how you see Silicon Valley in the, over the next, you know, 10 years. Right. Is Cupertino going to be all Asian at that point? What does it look like to you?
You know, given the way that the tech industry drives so many things here, and given the reliance of the tech industry on workers from India and China in particular, there's likely to be a growth in that population. And the fact that there's already a population here, and so immigration is driven in part by networks. So people have friends, family, et cetera, already here. And, you know, we often say about I've studied Mexican immigration for a long time. We often say about Mexican immigration and the kind of reaction of the native population of Mexican immigrants that over time, we've always wanted workers, but we get upset when people show up. And people with lives, people with families, people with a language or the culture, et cetera, et cetera. And what that entails for the potential for conflict and the like. But, you know, high-skilled immigrants from India and China and Taiwan and Korea, which is where they mostly come from, they're also people. And they come with a language, and they come with a religion, and they come with a culture that has implications, much like those kind of things have implications when Mexican immigrants bring them who aren't of such a high-class status. And so one of the things that I try to show in this research, I think one of the things that's emerging in this research, is that that cultural baggage is, for the people who've lived here for a long time, both a source of kind of wonderment and enjoyment and a source of a painful adjustment.